So the recording will be posted at aka.ms/Azure Networking Fridays, and this is also where you you can see all the other recordings. They are on channel 9, so the hyperlink for channel 9 is right there. So I see there's people from pretty much all over the world: Sri Lanka, Brazil, Pittsburgh. Well, hi everyone, we're happy to have you here. So the agenda for today, we're going to be talking a little bit about networking from 0 to 60. It's kind of the analogy we do when we talk about Express Route. And we will have, as special guests this week, two people from our CAT team. And those two folks are Bala and Richard. And they will be doing a little demo for us. So that's going to be very interesting. And as well, we have, as our partner spotlight of the week, Equinix, who was represented here by David Anderson, and who will be talking to us about a new offering that they have and that they're marketing now. So, and at the end we'll go ahead with an open Q&A. So this is where I'll unmute you guys. So the Azure network, this is quite a big thing. It's definitely a global thing. It spans 34 regions. Don't like to talk about on competitors, but let's say that we have quite a few regions there. We're present all over the globe, and we have also quite a bit of a big network here. 1.6 million miles of fibers in our data centers and across the globe. It's quite big, and from Azure, from Express Route, you can connect to all of these regions from pretty much all over the world. So this is quite impressive, and we have a lot of a growing ecosystem of global Express Route partners, and we're delighted today to have Equinix with us to talk to us about their offering. So the Azure services, and specifically the networking stack, there's a lot of stuff in there. We're not going to cover all of it today, obviously. We will be talking a little bit about virtual networks with our demo guys, who are going to show us something great, and also we're going to talk about Express Route this week. So, but there's other connectivity options. There's, you know, anybody wanting to connect to our cloud can obviously use the internet, which is good in many cases. Also, there's the point-to-site type of connectivity that, you know, it's just like a VPN client. You install something on your workstation, and from there you can connect to a VPN gateway inside of your virtual network, and that allows you to do all kinds of stuff. You would do development, you would spin up machines and try and do some small scale work is what we typically see there. And as this need grows up, we see a lot of customers moving on to site-to-site VPN, where it's really, you know, like any other VPN that you would use. But this allows to connect to your Azure virtual networks, and it allows really site-to-site connectivity, connections initiated on both sides. And at the end of the scope, there's Express Route. And Express Route is, well, kind of achieves a very similar thing to VPN, except that you have an SLA. So you can run mission critical workloads, you have bandwidth, and you don't have to worry about what happens on your internet connection for these real-time applications. So I like to see the analogy of Express Route a little bit like what we see on the screen now, where the internet kind of might look like what there's on the left at times during the day. You never really know. Maybe there's an accident and things go badly. But on the right, you know, things go much smoother. There's a price to it, but you know what? Sometimes workload just demand that, and it's worthwhile. All right. So in essence, what it is a way to bypass perhaps your public internet and go directly and connect your WAN to Azure's cloud. There's different connectivity models, but that's essentially it. The idea is to connect your network to Microsoft network. And how does that happen? Well, and as you see on this diagram here, it's not necessarily a connection from your own data center to Microsoft's data center. It's really an interconnection between the customer's network, so your network guys, and our network. So the peering locations that you see that we have on our website, we have them all over the world, they are not our data centers. Our data centers might be close. We try to make them close, but sometimes they can be further. And as a matter of fact, you can very well connect in Chicago for express route, and you would connect in that location here in the middle, and that's what would be the Chicago thing. And from there, you can hop on our network and ride our backbone and go all over the world. So you can have virtual networks running in Asia and them being connected in Chicago if you have a premium circuit. So that's what it is. So essentially, on express route, what we have is we have three different peerings. All right. So there's a different peering for the IaaS workloads, which connect your virtual networks essentially. There's another peering for the public workloads, the Azure public workloads, which are things like SQL Server, for example, like storage. There's ASR, there's Active Directory, Azure Active Directory, and other stuff. So this is the peering that you'd use to connect to these over express route. And finally, there's the peering for Office. We call it the Microsoft peering. Although I mind you, there is new guidance around using the Microsoft peering, and I encourage you to talk to your account team before you consider it. So a typical integration scenario looks like this, where you'd have maybe your private virtual networks on the bottom right that would connect to what we call the MSEE here, is the Microsoft Enterprise Edge Router. And this is what's in the peering location or the meet me location. I mentioned earlier Chicago, that's an example. There's Toronto, there's DC, there's Ashburn, there's San Jose, and this is in the US, and there's Amsterdam. There's all the places all over the world where you meet us, and this is where we put our, oh, sorry, here I went too fast. This is where we put our gear, and this is where you meet us either through guys like Equinix, who are going to be talking about that specifically later, and or you could use other carriers as well. So it could be your equipment there or the carrier's equipment, and this is really the express route circuit that you get with us. And typically, these peerings are not necessarily connected to your network in the same way. So as you see, the blue line here, the blue line on the right, you don't see my mouse there, but on the bottom right, if you follow the bottom right cloud all the way to the left, you get inside of your network. Whereas if you go the two other public peerings, they typically end up in front of your firewalls. So this is how it is. It's because it's public IP addresses, and you have to consider it from a security standpoint that it is just like the internet. All right, so here's a little bit of a pricing. It's always up to date on our website, so I encourage you to get there and take a look at that. But there's different bandwidths we're offering. We go as low as 50 megabits all the way up to 10 gigs, and we do metered and unmetered, unlimited data. And the difference is obviously, well, one actually counts the data that gets out of the Microsoft cloud, and because we don't charge for data that gets in. So there's egress charges at $0.025, so 2.5 cents per gig in the US, and in other countries it varies. So I encourage you to check on our website to have the more up-to-date information on that. Not that this isn't up-to-date, but you might be able to find exactly what you need there. And the premium circuit is also there, and it is, it's not priced necessarily the same way, because the premium circuit gives you more ability. Gives you the ability, for example, to ride our backbone internationally. So as I said earlier, if you're connected in Chicago, and if you're connected to Microsoft's network in Chicago and you want to ride our backbone all the way up to Asia or Europe, you can do it. There's no problem there. So but if you want to do it, you would need a premium circuit. So that's one of the benefits of a premium circuit. And how do you get started? Because there's multiple things that you have to take into consideration when you start that. So on our website, there's documentation information on that. There's a workflow page, but essentially it's pretty much there. And you'll find the recording at the end, and I'll put a link to the presentation on the aka.ms/Azure Networking Friday. So if you want to revisit that, Please do that. Please go there and see for yourself. So even if you, no matter what you want to connect, you still need an Azure subscription, because this is what it is. I hear oftentimes customers saying, "Do I send a PO to Microsoft for that?" You don't. It's an Azure service, just like a virtual machine is an Azure service. But there's a few prerequisites that you need to think about, and one of the first things you need to do is to contact your Express Route partner. So we have Equinix with us that are going to be talking to us about what it is they do. But there's other steps that you need to follow, all right? So keep that in mind, guys. And we've made it easier, and we're always upgrading our portal. And right now, and this is new, the gateways queue that you can select is now something you can do in the portal. So there's different queues depending on what kind of speed you want your virtual network to be able to connect to Express Route. We now have a 10 gig ultra performance queue. We were for people who were at my last session 2 weeks ago. You heard the new announcements from Ignite, and this is one of the great announcements. So we are able to connect at 10 gigabit from your premise all the way up to your virtual network. Mind you, it takes an interesting workload to be able to consume all of that bandwidth, but you can absolutely do it now within a single virtual network, all right? So here's a little cheat sheet. This is kind of the information that you need to think about when you're going to be connecting to Express Route, your ASN number, and you know the IP addresses you are going to be using for that, and that kind of stuff. So it's a little bit of a cheat sheet. I stole it from my predecessor, but I've adapted it a little bit, so feel free to use that as a help. Also, there's a checklist that's also available at aka.ms/ER checklist. It's also, if you go on aka.ms/Azure Networking Fridays, you will see it there. And finally, there's, you know, we have a lot of partners that we work with. We have professional services partners, guys like Equinix are in the professional services world. And there's other guys too, as well as network virtual appliance partners. We've had so far with us, we've had Barracuda and Checkpoint on that webinar. And there's other Express Route partners that you can work with to get your connectivity. And as we found out, the most successful engagement is when these guys are involved. So yes, talk to Microsoft, talk to your account team, might end up talking to myself or to Jamie or to Kevin Lopez, but you definitely need to involve these guys, as it takes the collaboration of everybody to make these integrations successful. All right, so demo time. Bala and Richard are with us this morning, two program managers from the Azure CAT team. So guys, please free to get off mute. And you might want to take over, not necessarily as a presenter, but I think in this case you want to do a demo. So feel free to take the screen.
Thank you, Alivar. Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Bala Natarajan. I'm a program manager in the CAT team. CAT team is basically customer architecture and technology team. We work with customers on their deployment architecture, and then if there are any blockers, we help them unblock. And also we want to collect feedback from customers, so that's what our team does. So anything that any feedback we receive, we work with the engineering to make it happen in the product. Today, what I'm going to be talking about or showing a demo is on VNet pairing. And a couple of weeks back, Oliver presented a session on the new feature that we announced just before Ignite, is the VNet pairing. And I'm going to be showing a demo of how VNet pairing and a site-to-site VPN connection can coexist, or you can also look at it like VNet pairing and an ER connection, how to connect your on-prem and also make use of VNet pairing to connect to all your networks in Azure. So to begin with, I'm going to be sharing my screen and give you an idea of what my lab looks like. Okay, so here is what I have in my lab. I hope you can see there are Europe, Western Europe a subscription, and it is used by, it's a subscription of my colleague. He has given me full access permission. And here is my US VNet subscription and the resource group. So I'm going to go to the Europe resource group. And in the US resource group, I have various resources. And one of them is the VNets that I already created for this lab. This hybrid cat EMEA VNet is my hub VNet in my lab. And if I go to the peering section, I can see that it has connection to the spokes VNet, hub to spoke. And similarly, if I come to my spoke 12 and look at the peering, it has a connection to the hub VNet. Basically, you have to create the VNet peering from both sides, from the hub to the spoke, and also from the spoke to the hub. So if I look at the spoke 11 VNet, and currently it doesn't have any peering, so this is what I'm going to be creating. So in order for me to create, I can start either way, but let me start from the spoke itself. I click on add, and then I give it a name. I want to say hub 11 to hub. And I am selecting the subscription because this is owned by my colleague, Victor, and he has given me permission, so I'm going to choose his subscription. That is where the VNets are residing. And I'm going to be selecting which VNet I'm going to be peering with. And here I'm selecting my hub VNet. And then here is where I want to select what options I want for this peering. Here in this section, I want to be able to connect to my hub and use the hub site-to-site VPN gateway to connect to my US VNet. And so the option I have to choose here is use remote gateway here. So before I actually enable this, let me switch to VMs that I have in my Spoke 11, and I am trying to ping my US VNet, a VM in the US VNet. And it is going to probably fail, basically, because right now this spoke 11 VNet is on its own. It is not connected anywhere, and so I am unable to reach. And let me also look at another way to see the So why is this not connecting? So let's look at, I want to switch to my, I want to see the route table in the VM for spoke 11. I'm switching to that subscription in my PowerShell module. Okay, now I want to see the route table of a VM in the spoke VNet. And in order for me to do that, I have to run this command. So the command I use is get Azure RM effective route table and network interface name. Since I have a VM, let me show you the interface name. VM 1167 is the interface name, and the resource group that it belongs to. It belongs to the EMEA resource group, hybrid cat lab. And if I run this command, it's going to show what routes the VM in spoke 11 is going to see. Because it is not connected anywhere, it is going to see only its 10.11 subnet and nothing else, and maybe a default route to the internet. The rest of it is all internal stuff. It doesn't have a route to the 10.12 or the hub VNet 10.10 or the US VNet 10.1. Let's enable the peering and then come back and see the route table here and see what happens. Okay, so I am switching back to the peering configuration, and I am initiating the peering configuration from the spoke. And I said I'm going to peer with the hub, and because the hub has the site-to-site VPN gateway, I'm saying use the remote gateway setting, and I click OK. It's going to add that, and then I'm going to switch to the hub VNet and establish a peering to the spoke 11 VNet also. Go to peerings, and I'm going to add the peering, which is hub to 11. And again, this is in the Europe subscription of Victor. And here, I'm going to select the spoke 11 to peer with. And here I have to say, allow this gateway to be used as a transit. Basically, since I am in the hub VNet and I want the spoke VNets to use the gateway in the hub to reach my US VNets, and so I'm selecting the allow gateway transit button and I'm clicking OK. And after that, if I come back to my EMEA, it shows there are two peerings. The spoke 12 was already present. I added the spoke 11 now, and both are connected. Now let's see whether I can reach the spoke 11. From the spoke 11, I'm trying to reach the VNet in US. Let's see whether I can ping now. Previously it failed. Maybe it takes some time. Let's look at the route table and see whether I have additional routes. Okay, I'm looking at the route table now, and but it's taking some time. Okay.
Yeah, so for your question, Mike, as Vale is going through and waiting, you wouldn't even have to do a UDR. If gateway transit is allowed, you don't need to write a UDR in the spoke VNet. Have to point your UDR to that, but you would do it the same way as if they were all in one big VNet.
Okay, let me look at the route table from the GUI, and I will show you the interface name that I was using. So if I look at the VM11 resource and go to the network interfaces, and I see the interface name here, which is the VM11 1767, which is what I used in my PowerShell command. And in the GUI also, you can see whether the effective route tables are available in this section. So let's look at this one. Okay, so what it shows here is now I'm effectively looking at the route table of 10.11 VNet, which is my spoke 11. Now, I am seeing my own local subnet, and I am seeing the hub VNet 10.10, and it says, how did I get? It's basically because of VNet peering. And I am seeing the US subnet, and the US subnet is basically through the virtual network gateway in my hub. So effectively, the 10.11 VNet is able to see the 10.10, which is the hub, and also the VNet in the US side, the 10.1. So let's see whether the command is showing the output here. So the, it is the same thing I'm trying to see from the PowerShell. Oh. Okay. Let's see, why is this not happening? Let's see whether I can ping from. Okay. Now I can ping. At least I can have the connectivity. Probably the partial command is still taking time to show the route table. But basically, you get the idea. You can see the routes from the GUI. And you can see the 10.11 VNet is now able to see the routes of 10.10, 10.1, which is my US subnet, and I can establish connectivity. The another benefit of VNet peering is between 10.11 and 10.10, because they are in the same region, and 10.11 doesn't have any gateway, and still it was able to peer with the 10.11. And it is using the Azure backbone bandwidth to connect. So basically, by VNet doing VNet peering, you get the benefit of using the Azure backbone bandwidth. Okay, that's all I have to show. Richard, you can take over as a presenter. Probably you can show the network security group.
Yeah, Bala, I've had a conversation in the background for with Richard. I think we might be running a little bit short on time, so so I think we'll hand it over to David right away. So David, if you want to take over as a presenter, let me just put the slide back here. Okay. All right. Can you guys see my screen or the presentation?
I see it.
Okay. So do you want to take over as a presenter, David?
I'll take over.
All right. Thanks. Oh, all right. Oh, you're a little going to have to scroll. Sorry about this, a little technical challenge, guys. On my end, I had a little bit
of a
challenge.
That's all right. We'll get it up there.
we'll get it up to speed. Thanks a lot, Bala and Richard, by the way, for this demo. I've only been able to see portions of it, but now we're there. We're up to speed, and with we're in good hands with David, so feel free to take it away.
Excellent. Thanks, Olivier. And welcome. For those of you who have been on this call before, I've presented a couple other times, and if not, welcome. And I'll briefly do the quick song and dance about we are Equinix. Equinix is the world's largest data center and interconnection provider, and we are also the home of currently 18 ExpressRoute nodes, soon to be 20 when we turn on our nodes in Frankfurt and Paris toward the end of this year. So we have we'll have 20 locations around the world where you can connect to Azure through ExpressRoute through our leading interconnection platform. So you can get us anywhere globally, and we're there. So remember that. I'm going to type and talk at the same time as I put my email address in there. There we go. As I said, we have a global reach. We're in 5 continents, 21 countries, 40 metros, 146 plus data centers. And we say plus because we're growing constantly. We also have our switching and interconnection platform, the Cloud Exchange, in 21 locations worldwide. And if I add to that, with ExpressRoute availability, shows the locations, matches up pretty much with Cloud Exchange. We only do ExpressRoute where we have a Cloud Exchange. And the Cloud Exchange is our private switching platform with service orchestration. So it allows you to one connection into our Cloud Exchange will then allow you to connect to the Microsoft Cloud, Azure, and if you're approved through WinRoom and you have the right the right requirements, you can connect to Office 365 also. So a single connection to multiple points. And now in the past, it's been thought, sometimes incorrectly, but thought anyway, that in order to use Equinix or any exchange provider that is an ExpressRoute provider, you need to do co-location with us. In other words, actually take out space in one of our data centers, put in equipment, including a BGP-capable router, and then get a cross-connect from your network provider to your cage, and then from your cage, get a connection to ExpressRoute. Well, we've actually had the capability to bypass that for a long time, but what we have done is we are introducing the Equinix remote port for the Microsoft Cloud. And what that is, it's a streamlined, both a streamlined quoting and provisioning process. So if you as a customer or you as a Microsoft seller on the call here, if you need to, I'm going to go back just a second here. If you need to actually get a connection, and it keeps doing this, that's fine. If you need to get a connection without doing colo and you need it fairly quickly, we can do it without requiring the colo. All that's required of you is that you are using one of the 1,200 or more NSPs that terminate in our data centers. And I have this slide, unfortunately, running on AutoPresent, so we're going to do some fun stuff here. But so what we're saying is we can do the setup, and right now it's available in North America. It will be available in both EMEA and APAC in early 2017. And we can, from the time you send us an email to expressroute@equinix.com, we can have the entire circuit provisioned in 27 days or less. And 27 days may sound like a long time, but the trick here is that has to include time in there for you as a customer to actually secure a letter of authorization from your NSP to allow us to put a cross connect from that NSP's termination point to the cloud exchange. Then you'll get that secure private connection through ExpressRoute to the Microsoft Cloud. It's fairly cost effective for a 1 gig circuit. It's $1,200 per month on our side of the world. That doesn't include ExpressRoute charges or your Azure charges. I will say that we'll have some news later in the year about how we are working hard to reduce those costs even further. And obviously, because of our global reach, we're going to get you to the Azure region closest to you for those cases where you need data proximity, data security, sovereignty, and you need the performance of the cloud that you need. So the steps are really easy. Send an email to expressroute@equinix.com with information that's listed there. Sorry about that. And then what we do in return at Equinix is we send a link back to the customer email that's in there that has a link to the web form. Customer just gets on the web form, fills out a few fields, with the option to engage with Equinix Professional Services to help set up the circuit if needed, and I'll talk about that in a second. And then we go through the customer onboarding process, including once they submit that web form, we return back to them with a quote, for how much it'll be. They authorize that, and then we start the process, including asking them to get a letter of authorization for their NSP. If they have an LOA to begin with, which many times customers do, it'll go extremely fast because then we can just start the process and get it through. And then once that's all done, the order's complete, and you have an ExpressRoute circuit. Now, I mentioned Equinix Professional Services. We do have Equinix Professional Services. They're currently only available in the U.S., but we can actually do ExpressRoute provisioning remotely in other parts of the world using EPS, so you can still engage with them. EPS was acquired by Equinix in 2015. For those of you in the U.S. may have known them as Nimbo. They're a high-quality partner. I've been doing lots of Azure and Office 365 and even Enterprise Mobility Suite stuff for many years. What Equinix Pro Services has put together are some packages that are really meant to optimize the consumption of the Azure cloud and the Microsoft cloud in general. And they have a four-phase process that they can go through from assess, enable, migrate, and optimize. But we're really, when it comes to pairing it with the remote port offer, we really have some packages that are streamlined to do that. For those of you who really need to look at what you need to do around the cloud and cloud readiness, including cloud network configurations, they do have a two-day cloud readiness workshop that when you come out of that, they will have a complete, basically a complete assessment for you and can help you plan going forward how you're going to really utilize the cloud to drive your business forward. And then we have the Cloud Exchange tuning packages. A little bit more detail on the packages here, and I want to put the caveat out there. They do have an Office 365 enablement package over ExpressRoute and Cloud Exchange. But as the caveats are well known, Office 365 really is designed to be used well over the internet, and really the only cases that will be allowed through the Microsoft WinRoom process are really in those cases of regulatory compliance and or Skype for Business requiring QoS to get on ExpressRoute. But because of the complexity of that, they do have an Office 365 over ExpressRoute enablement package also. But as you can see, the ECX enablement packages, we've got, for $5,000 engagement, one-time engagement, it's just we'll get the circuit up and running for you and test it end-to-end. And for $10,000, we'll add the Cloud Foundation package. When I'm referring to ECX, I'm really referring to the Equinix Cloud Exchange, and obviously I see in here, yes, LOA is letter of authorization. Yes, there are a lot of acronyms here. So in summary, and I've gone fairly quick because I wanted to make sure we got this out there, the remote port for Equinix it's our remote port offering to get to the Microsoft Cloud. It's a simplified and streamlined quote order and implementation process. And the most important thing that everyone should know is that there's no colo required to take advantage of this. So if you're a new customer to Equinix, you don't need to worry about putting equipment in the cage. You can still get on ExpressRoute through Equinix without doing that through our remote port offer. It's in US and Canada now, like I said, EMEA and APAC in early next year. We prefer the customer to be working with a Microsoft seller and the Microsoft seller involved, but it's easy just to send an email to expressroute@equinix.com with the information required. And, during that process, actually during the web form process, you can actually click to select a Equinix Professional Services package to add to it, and then Equinix Professional Services will reach out to you and schedule the consultation and get it done. So from that, it's pretty straightforward. We're just simply trying to enable connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud through ExpressRoute easy and quick for end customers. We like to call ourselves the on-ramp to the Microsoft Cloud. So go ahead and send emails to ExpressRoute@Equinix or to my private email, which I put in the
IM.
The IM, thanks. It's early here in Seattle. Come on.
I know. We're in East. Well, I'm in East, and people are all over the world. So.
So that's it. I really appreciate your time, and I will focus on if there's any questions in particular for me in the IM window, I will get on them.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, David. Thanks to Balatu and to Richard. I thought we might be running out of time. We do have time, so guys, feel free to get off mute. I'm unmuting the audience right now. So if you want to ask questions, that's the time. I don't know. I haven't caught up with all the questions in the IM, so I'm not sure if we're all recorded here. Or all answered. Sorry. Anybody has a question? Or Jamie, I don't know if you caught some that were unanswered. This recording will be held. Go on aka.ms. I'll put it here. Azure Networking Fridays, and from there there's the link to the Channel 9 page. Yeah, exactly, as said Jamie. Were there questions for Bala, questions for David?
I have a question about like the Express Route, and has it been tested with the Azure Fortinet and the reliability of that?
Well, I can't talk to Fortinet per se, but I do know that they're, well, I'll say I'm 95% sure they're in our marketplace, but I know they definitely have an offering, and you probably mean like running their firewall inside of a virtual network, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, and you know, also including that with Express Route to our main corporate location.
Yeah, this is typical scenarios that have, you know, not only them, but all of the guys that that are running network virtual appliances do have, you know, they all have to do the same thing. So essentially, it's based on the usage of user-defined routes in one end, and maybe load balancers depending on the scenarios, and it works for a lot of the scenarios. So it does work for the we know it works for some of these guys, and Fortinet is one of them. And it works with ExpressRoute. It works with site-to-site VPNs. There's no difference between both when you're doing site-to-site VPN and with BGP routing enabled, for example.
How does that work with the logging functionality that Azure is offering right now?
What specifically?
You guys came out with a new log manager. You guys have been pushing out, but I just want to know how that works.
Specifically how Fortinet works with this?
No, just, yeah, I mean, you know, for the network appliance and, you know, express routes, making sure you get all the traffic and monitoring from that, if that's kind of put together or not.
Yeah, well, this on the networking and on the Express Route side, this has not been integrated fully yet. There's work that's being done to improve that. But there is the statistics of your Express Route circuit. The only thing that is unfortunately available now is the bytes in, bytes out counter. So if you want to do stuff on your end, you could always monitor your routers and count for it. But unfortunately, as it stands now, we know that we have work to do there, but there's not more than the monitoring. The Azure monitoring is able to offer from that standpoint as of now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else wants to get off the mic and ask questions? Questions, anyone? We have the experts on the line. We're happy to answer your questions. If not, well.
Hey, Olivia, this is Neil. I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
So we know that VNet peering is not possible between two subscriptions that are using different tenants.
Correct.
Will that be... Is there something in the roadmap that will change that, or?
There is. This is a capability we're working on, but there's nothing to share in terms of when and that kind of stuff. And I know exactly what you're talking about. You and I have been working together, so
right.
Nothing
okay.
that we can share.
Good to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Question here, does a single Express Route circuit have the capability to connect to multiple subscriptions? Absolutely. Daryl, you can have one circuit that terminates, and in fact, many customers do that, and they have like centralized services or shared costs, so Express Route is often one of them, and they will have other subscriptions that can benefit. You could have different VNets, for example, in different subscriptions, and you can all tie them up to the same Express Route circuit. You can have more than one, but you can have one as well, and it works well. Anyone else wants to ask a question? Uh, the one question from Kalili here. Do you have, or Amir, do you have control over advertising network with BGP to customer? If you want to get off mute and maybe get more details as to what the question really is, so everybody can benefit.
Yeah, right. It's Amir here. Technically, in terms of advertising routes from the BGP on the VNet side, I mean, I'm under the impression that once you create a VNet and subnets, and then once you associate that with the express route, they get advertised based on the subnets created onto BGP. If is that correct, please.
Actually, what gets advertised is the address space that you define inside your virtual network. So, for example, if you have one virtual network and you say it's 10.10/16, you put this as an address space, and in there you define maybe 20 subnets to 10.10.1/24 and so on and so forth. Each of these individual subnets will not be advertised. What will get advertised is the 10.10.10.10/16. Okay. This is what you will get on your end. So.
Right. Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
It avoids polluting your route tables.
Sure. Thank you.
But Olivia, this does bring up a the flip side of that. This is Richard Carpenter. Is that you want to be sure of what you're publishing from your CorpNet to Azure through the Express Route? Because if you just publish everything, then Azure is going to see all of your subnets or all of your network segments, and that may be more than you want. So from your corp side, you're going to want to control how many of those network segments you're going to want to expose to Azure. You may want to put them all, or you may not. But just understand that when you turn on that, you're going to publish everything by default.
So if you have 4,000 subnets, it might complicate your life depending on what you're trying to do. So Richard's point is great. We've seen customers just advertising the default route. That's something we refer to as forced tunneling in our documentation. This is something sometimes you want, sometimes you don't. Really depends on what you're trying to achieve here. Sometimes people just, you know, advertise maybe the RFC 1918 space, so 10/8 and 192 and so forth. So this is other things we've seen, and sometimes it's really restricted, and there might be just, a few subnets that you advertise. That's all for the private peering folks, because for the public peerings and for the, we call it the Microsoft peering, which is for Office and CRM, totally different discussion. It's very different. There's NATing and source NATing involved and many other interesting challenges there. But for the private, it's generally quite easy, but think of what you advertise from CorpNet is a great, great, great thing. Thanks, Richard, for bringing up. David, I think there's a question for you. Is this new remote port offering on Equinix.com, I guess, is what Daryl is asking?
It's not currently posted on Equinix.com, unfortunately, but if you were to, there are some links on Equinix.com to get information on ExpressRoute or Cloud Exchange. If you ask for remote port for that, they will send you the information. We are in process of updating it. We've just opened up this offer to the general public, so just wanted to get out there to you. If you send an email to ExpressRoute@Equinix.com, hopefully by the end of the day, you'll get through too. So we'll get it up there on the public website this week.
Thanks a lot, David. Anyone else has questions? Going once, going twice. Well, guys, on that, I'm going to give you all back 4 minutes, and thanks.